Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim Show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area, or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
To understand that, you know, in the Muslim world, their whole decree is to rule the world, is to absolutely wash the land clean with the blood of the infidels, and to rule the world. That's the way. That's their belief. It's just like the belief you have if you go to a Baptist church, if you go to a Pentecostal church, whatever you go to in the way of a church, bless God, our common belief is that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God, that he came, he shed his blood for the remission of our sins, that we might have eternal life. Well, that's our decree, okay? Their decree is, bless God, to be able to rule the world. And that's what they're after. And, you know, I've said openly from the very beginning that I don't know where America's at in all this with all their intelligence agencies and all the things that they do. But the fact of it is, these people are here in America to absolutely slaughter the Americans. That's what this is all about, folks. It isn't about, oh, golly gee, you know, they have their own religion. Well, I got news for you. The Muslim religion is the only religion on the face of this earth that will openly strap bombs on women, little kids, men, go into crowds and push the button and destroy people's lives. This is real stuff. It's already come out now, and you know, now that Egypt is the president has stepped down out of his office, out of his position, they're already finding out that bless God, that Al-Qaeda is they're going to have a say in all this. Well, hang on, because it's going to get worse, and that's all there is to it. Once they can control Egypt and those other areas round about, bless God, it will be a whole different world there. And here we are as Israel, sitting right smack dab in the middle of this thing. But let me tell you something. Our God's not their God, and we are the chosen. We are the chosen people of the Lord God Yahweh, and he will take care of those of his own. And you want to keep this in mind. We're entering into some very troublesome and very hard times, and we are. The whole thing with the wars, the whole thing with the, bless God, with the economy, the food prices, as I said, we're headed towards superinflation. That's part of what went over there in Egypt at the time that all that came down over there. Those people make something like $2 a day, can you imagine? And their food prices are exorbitant there also. And here we are, you know, our gasoline is getting completely out of hand, and it hadn't even, you know, that's not even started real well yet. And then we got the food prices all going up. I just saw last night where places where the fruit, we had such a winter that down the southern parts of the states, a lot of the fruit was frosted, froze, and is not going to be available. So the fruit prices are going to go up. We see the milk prices going up. We see everything that we are doing is going up. Now, there comes a certain point in time when your budget doesn't handle those things, and we can all say amen to that. So again, we're in very perilous times. Paul talked about perilous or dangerous times, and we're in those times. But you need to know one thing: prepare yourselves, get ready, because this is real. It's not going to go away. It's not something that, bless God, that, you know. No, I'm sorry. This thing is going to wax worse, and it's going to wax worse, and it's going to wax worse. And as I said before, there will come a time, brothers and sisters, that you will see those types of riotings happening even here in the United States of America, because the fact of enough's enough. And I mean, we're at a point now with our finances. Enough is enough. You know, I mean, they're trying to figure out how to cut back all these programs and do this and do that. And you know, at the end of the matter, you know who suffers? We the people. We're the ones that suffer. It's not they, the government. It's we, the people. Well, boy, what a world we live in. Amen. But you know, the scriptures are very clear about these last days. And I just thank God that I'm wrapped up, tied up, and sold out to the Lord God. And I pray to the Lord God that you are too, because that's what's going to take. You know, we're talking about the Acts of the Apostles here on this program here, and we have for the last few times that we've been on. And the thing about them, they had total consecration to God. And that's the thing that I really want each and every one of you to think about. Are you totally consecrated to God? You know, when I read the story of Caleb and Joshua, you know, they were sent out to spy out the land, okay? And the Lord had said they were well able to take the land. And, of course, they came back, and bless God, the ten, they could, well, there's giants in the land, and, oh, yeah, it's full of milk and honey, but we can't take that. We just can't do it. And yet Caleb and Joshua stood up, and bless God, said, we're well able to take this land, because that's what God has said. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it's in the 12th verse, that 32nd chapter of Numbers, where it says, meaning Caleb and Joshua, for they wholly followed the Lord. See, they were totally consecrated to God. They weren't going to let anything stand in the way, bless God, of following after Him, doing exactly what He was told to do. And you know, folks, sometimes people, I don't know what there is about people in this thing that I'm about to say, but there's times that people, bless God, they almost get ashamed of saying, well, I follow after the Lord God of all of Israel. Sometimes they you know, they're, well, they don't want to say too much, and, well, you know, I keep Shabbat, but I just don't you know something? If you're ashamed of Him, He's going to be ashamed of you. And some of you listening today need to take account of that statement. You're going to have to stand up, and you're going to have to proclaim what you believe to be the truth. You can't be back, because that, the Scripture says, if you're going to be ashamed of Him, He's going to be ashamed of you. And some of you are going to have to stand up, and bless God, you're going to have to give your testimony. What is that? That's holy following God. That's what that is. You're going to have to start doing that, because bless God, I'm going to tell you something. When that time comes, when great distress and great and you know, the thing with food and the plagues and all the stuff that's come and is coming, the storms and all that's taking place. You know, I prophesied that, bless God, that the weather was going to change. I prophesied back in the 80s that we were going to start seeing changes in our climate. Places that were wet were going to be dry, and the dry places were going to become wet, and that there was going to be snow, and even down into the places of Florida that very seldom have ever seen snow, and in the south. And bless God, those are things that today, that we have just come through. Well, we're not through the winter by any means. We're having I like to say an early spring, but maybe a reprieve at this point from winter. But these things are all coming. Now, when it comes time to cry out unto the Lord God for help, to provide for you, you don't want to be somebody that has been wishy-washy with following Him. And again, you know, I teach, very ardently do I teach, you're going to have to get into a place of understanding. You're going to have to fast. You need to fast every week, at least one day. You need to fast. You need to set goals of being able to fast. If you've never fasted, well, you need to get the CDs that I did on fasting and prayer. And you're going to need to pray. You're going to have to learn to bless God. These are all part of holy following the Lord God, okay, and with all of your heart. And you will be found of Him if you'll do that. But yet at the same time, we've got so many people that just half-heartedly go about this thing. Like some of them are, like I said, act like they're almost ashamed of the Lord God. You know, well, you know, I get around people. Well, I got news for you. This is not a time, bless God, to hold back your feelings, your thoughts, and bless God, where you walk at with the Lord. It's time that you got to plant the seeds, all right? Even though people may even laugh at you, but you still plant the seeds, because one day, brothers and sisters, when this thing goes topsy-turvy, and it's going to, bless God, those people are going to remember, and they're going to wonder where you're at and what are you doing during that time, because you're the one that stood up and said, hey, you know what? You better grab on to the Lord God. You better hang on, because things are going to get tough. And the only way out, the government's not going to save you. Bless God, your city, that your town you live in, is not going to save you. The only thing that's going to save you is the consecration that you've given unto the Lord God. And if that consecration is half, well, let me tell you something. You're only going to be able to expect the best half back if you even get that. So we began to realize that these not only the apostles, but back through the kings and the people that served the Lord God in what we call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, bless God. These people, there wasn't a shadow attorney for these people. They were in this thing, as we say, up to their necks and then maybe over their heads. They had chosen to follow after him with a whole heart. And that's what God is after. Now, in 2 Kings 23:3, King Josiah here, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes. Now listen, with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. Now, the king, fully consecrated, in this case, not only himself, but the entirety of Israel at that time, that they were going to do what? They were going to keep the covenant. They were going to keep the words of the covenant. They were going to perform the words of the covenant. And it says, and all the people stood to the covenant. Well, you know, again, when I do the thing on God's holy covenant, when I finish, I give everybody an opportunity, bless God, to stand and covenant with the Lord God. And if you haven't covenant with God, you need to get a hold of the series of the Holy Covenant. You need to go through that. And at the end of it, you need to covenant to God. You need to make a covenant. But don't take it lightly, because it's better to never vow, which is a covenant, to make a covenant with the Lord God and to vow and then not keep it. I mean, it's and the consequences, I don't know what the consequences in particular are. I just know that things aren't going to turn out very well in your life, because you are doing what? You're swearing by the oath that you take unto the Lord God that you are going to keep his holy covenant. All the words that are written therein, the law, you're going to keep it. And plus the testimony of his holy son, Yeshua. But again, you get looking at this thing and you get to realizing that there was a great amount, even before the Holy Ghost was sent to this earth by Yeshua after he left, even before that, there was a great amount of God's power of his anointing worked throughout the writings of the prophets. They were there. You know, that's one thing that I keep saying. You know, these people run their mouth off about God saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, bless God, you just need to say, hey, have you ever seen God raise the dead? You know, have you ever seen the blind see, the lame walk, that the Lord God would bring forth like that? Because there again, these men, bless God, that walked the earth in those times, walked in that kind of power. And again, there's just so much more to being a prophet than, bless God, running your mouth off about God saying this and God saying that. So you may try to understand that, because it caused some of you have gotten yourself into places. And I'm going to tell you what, if you have and you've listened to these false prophets, you need to repent. You need to repent for you. You need to repent for your families, because you're cursed. That's exactly what the scriptures say. You have cursed yourself. But, oh, wasn't it so much fun, because it was so much different to go to some church somewhere or a service somewhere where people were saying, you know, thus saith the mouth of God. Wasn't that so much more fun than just sitting in that old dry church where every once in a while there was tongues, interpretation of tongues given, and every once in a while somebody prophesied something light. But boy, I'm out here in this deal here, and now here's a guy or a gal that, bless God, well, as I said, you better be careful what you're doing. You better be careful. Because, again, the curses will keep you from the blessings. And see, no, who knows that? Who's ever preached that? Who's ever been told that you go sit around these people and listen to these sorcerers and bless God, these soothsayers, all one and the same, start telling you that God's going to do this? Just like the people listening to this thing coming up here that are supposed to be coming up here on the 21st day of May, when the rapture is supposed to happen. Those people are cursed people. And they'll go through their... Let me tell you what. Truth sets you free, okay? Now, those people are going to go through the rest of their life not even knowing why everything seems to be turning up a dingy brown for them, because they don't know they've been cursed. Well, again, it's the truth that'll make you free. It's time. It's time that, bless God, that the truth comes forth and people adhere unto the truth and understand. Come out of those curses. You can come out of them. Now listen. In 2 Chronicles 15:15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with the whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. They sought him with all their heart, and bless God, with a whole desire. In other words, that was first and foremost in their life. My question today: what's first and foremost in your life? Is it the Lord God, or is he just a safety valve? And well, you know, I mean, I went to church, and I threw a little money in the plate when it went by, and so I've got a right to get to heaven because I received Yeshua in my heart. Well, is that all there is to that? Well, you see, it was more than that to them, and that's where you got to come to. Now, in Philippians 3:7, Paul said something here. He said, "But what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus my Lord." Now, understand what he says. He counts everything except that as loss. Bless God, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable, unto his death. And by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And that's what we all need to do. You've got to press toward that. You can't just sit back and wait for it to come to you. You know, I've heard so many times through the years, "Well, if it be God's will." I got news for you. It's God's will that bless God, that I'm always saying that you're happy, you're blessed, God, you're fulfilled with the peace of God in your life, and he meets the needs that you have each and every day. That's what it's all about. And I can't tell you how many people that I'm around that don't have that. Because of the fact of why? Because they were never taught that. They were never taught that their consecration toward God is who they are in him. All right? Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Notice he's saying your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Well, that's, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's a lifetime walk. And, you know, to think about your whole spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Just to think about that, you know, that just almost makes you want to quake to think, my goodness gracious, it comes down to the things that we say, the things that we do, the way that we act. And to realize that, bless God, that it's all accountable to the Lord God. My brothers and sisters, we all have a lot of growing up to do. And I say that with me in mind first, and then you in mind next. That we have a lot of growing up to do. We have a lot of, they say, going back and licking that calf again, as they say here in the Midwest where I grew up. You know, there's so much. There's so much that, bless God, that we weren't taught. There's so much that, bless God, that now we're going to have to adhere unto. We're going to have to, the old story is, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and, bless God, do this thing right for a change. Instead of being a bunch of mealy-mouthed Christian people sitting around doing nothing. You know, I go back to the same. But do you, again, you see what worked in Egypt with those people. Now, they're trying the same thing in Iran, but over there, you know, they've got a little different story. They're shooting them over there. They're not going to let that thing get out of hand there in Iran. They didn't before, and they're not going to let that happen again. They've got that right where they want it. They got the people right where they want the people. Now, I think with everything taken into account with all that, there's definitely the sin of you know, a lot of those regimes, bless God, are seeing their opportunity to bring forth the militant Muslim faction into the governments. And like I said, it's interesting to watch what's happening. Now, is the United States in all that? Of course, America's in the middle of all of it. I'm sure that there's a lot of things going on behind closed doors in Egypt right now that would probably surprise all of us if we knew the truth. Now, back to talking about the apostles. Peter was called the big fisherman, and you know, Peter was just a man like I am and you are and a human like men and women are, and yet at the same time, something stood out and made him different. I do fully agree that he was chosen from the foundations of the world, anointed, to be there at that point in that time, and he was. But I'm going to tell you again, and I mentioned this the last time that I ministered, I think it was on Monday, when I said, bless God, just because you're called to do something by God doesn't mean you're going to fulfill the call. Those just aren't automatic, oh, well, yeah, I'm called to be this or I'm called to be that, and I'm just going to sit around till you know, the angel comes and anoints me, and then it's just over. All the knowledge of God's word will come to me, and you know, no, I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. It takes first to consecrate yourself completely to God, 100%. In other words, you're going to have to wake up in the morning with that in your heart, on your mind, and coming out of your mouth, and go to bed at night the same way. And folks, again, if you're not doing that, you're going to have to break that. You're going to have to break that spirit of slumber off of yourself and bless God, stand up and do this thing right. Because these people, again, you know, my dad taught me something early on. My family were all entrepreneurs. And bless God, they all had businesses, and a lot of them were preachers, but a lot of them had businesses. And the thing that he told me was, he said, you know, he said, whatever you decide to do, if you decide to start a business, he said, the thing to do is to go find somewhere where somebody is doing that kind of a business. And he said, I mean, learn it upside down and backwards. Because he said, if it works for them, it'll work for you. And you know, the same thing can apply to this right here. Bless God, if we go back and we look at what made these great men as great and as powerful in God's anointing, the name of Yeshua that they were, then if we can learn how they did that, then all we got to do is copy that, right? To mimic that. It's the truth. And that was what it was. But again, I think a lot of people, and boy, I don't see a lot of it anymore, but I've seen through the years, you know, these... Bless God, I know they love the Lord, but they'd come in and bless God, they'd send a note back into the room where I was at praying before service, and they God had sent them there, that was the night that I was going to pour oil on them, lay hands on them, and they would then become the all-anointed vessel of God. Well, you know, I finally got to just telling people, I said, you know what, if I honestly could do that, I can't, but if I honestly could, I'd quit. Because I'm going to tell you why. This has been line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little for a whole lot of years. There was nobody put oil on me and laid hands on me, and then, bless God, I had all this anointing that works in me today worked. No, it wasn't that way. It's a step-by-step procedure, and the first thing you have to do is wholly, totally, bless God, sell yourself out. unto the Lord God and to His Word. And that, and you know, I'm going to tell you something. Then that takes time to prove. That takes time for God to prove that of your heart through the testings and the things that you go through. And then that's just the way it looks. It works. But in Acts 3:7, it says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Now that's when him and John was going into the temple for the afternoon prayers. And bless God, this old boy was sitting there, which had sat there for years. And that's when Peter looked down. He said, "You know, silver and gold," he said, "I don't have, but," he said, "such as I have, I give unto thee." Now let me just ask this question: what do you have to give to others? "What I have, I give unto thee." And then he said, "In the name of Yeshua," and he took him and he pulled him up, and bless God, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he walked and he went running into the temple. What do you have? What do you have to give? And I'm not talking about material things, because that's what Peter was talking about. "What such as I have, I give unto thee." What is it you can give? See, you see, so many people come into services. They come in to get. They don't come in to give. I mean to themselves. I fully believe, and I'm sure of this, that the day will come when, bless God, that we'll always have healing lines. We'll always have those things. But let me tell you something. I believe there's going to come a time that we're raising up a people that's going to do more than sit on their duffs. They're going to be able to rise up when the neighbor has sick, going to be able to rise up when people bring them to their homes and give what the Lord God has given unto them. Do you know why people can't give it? They don't have it. Does that make any sense to you? They don't have the power of God's anointing in their lives. Because why? They weren't taught properly. Wrong teaching, wrong believing. And like I said, you get the right teaching, you'll get the right believing, and things will begin to change in your life. Now, they may be contrary. You know, I always try to prepare people by getting people to understand. You know, the things that I'm teaching, well, you're not going to find at the local bookstore. So you might as well just give up on that part, because, one day I don't doubt it won't get there. I wrote a book years ago that a prominent minister here in the state stole it from, had a guy that worked in this publishing company that read all the books that came along, and bless God, when he found a book that this guy could, you know, this guy could put his name on and change a little bit, then he gave it to him. He got it to him. Of course, he was rewarded financially for that. And I got a phone call, and this fellow that was doing a book that I'd written at that time years ago, he said, "I just want to tell you," he said, "that book's going to be on the market under a different name." And he said, "And I want to tell you who it is, and I want to tell you the name. That when I get the name, I'm going to let you know the name." And sure enough, that guy stole the material, wrote the book, put his name on the book, and put it on the market. Well, I don't hear much of anything, if anything, any longer about this particular minister. But there again, this material, bless God, was given to me by God. This material was given to me so that you might do what? You might work the works of God. And that's what God wants. Okay? That's what He wants every one of us, to work the works. He doesn't want people sitting on their duffs and doing nothing. He wants, bless God, people that believe first in Him. But before that, they become fully consecrated unto Him. All right? And again, it's different. Now, this whole thing in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, we're going to see this. I've said often, this is going to be an absolute reoccurrence, that we're going to see a parallelization under this set of scriptures here about Ananias and Sapphira. And it's a shame, folks, that it has to come to this, but in one day it will. Now listen, as we go through, starting in the fifth verse of the fifth chapter of Acts, "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things." I'll bet great fear came upon them. "And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, 'Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much.' And she said, 'Yea, we did.' or idea for that much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together, you and Ananias, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Now listen to this. How did you agree to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? He said, behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. He done told her what was going to happen. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Now, what do you suppose about all that? Well, you see, again, folks, when you're dealing with people that are consecrated unto the Lord God, they're walking in holiness and righteousness, all right? Something that I have screamed and yelled for dear God in heaven from the beginning of my ministry, that's the only thing that the Lord God honors is holiness. And we're so far from holiness that, bless God, it is, we all talk the talk, but, you know, people aren't living holy lives. They're living lives full of slandering of each other, full of this and full of that, full of sin, all right? But the power of God is the power of God. That's an awesome, awesome thing, bless God, to think about. That you lie to the Holy Ghost, bless God, evidently, you could they end up being buried there in just a few minutes, as a matter of fact, in that case in the book of Acts. Now, and again, that type of thing is going to happen because God is going to seek out the consecrated ones. He's going to, and even now he's seeking them out. That's the reason that, bless God, that I preach so hard into these areas of holiness and righteousness, because, bless God, I know that without it, you're not going to see the Lord. I mean, that's just exactly what God's Word says. And in order to get yourself into position to work in the power of His anointing through the name of His Holy Son, Yeshua, you're going to have to bring yourself to the place where that's all there is for your life and to your life is serving the Lord God. And now, you know, we need to talk here just a few moments about this whole thing about serving the Lord God. Well, you know, I want to be this, or I want to be that. It doesn't matter what you're called to be. If you're called to be the doorkeeper of a church, you can be blessed, and you can be blessed more than the pastor himself if you will do that with all of your heart. But see, and see, God looks upon the heart like that, folks. Yeah, again, you don't start at the top. You start at the bottom. There's nothing that you do where you start at the top. Christ himself did not start at the top, and he didn't. He did what he was here to do, for sure, by God, but the Father, but he didn't start at the top. He saw instances, even as a young boy, him being in the synagogues, but still, it took time, didn't it? Absolutely, it took time. So, in the 15th verse of that 5th chapter, it says, inasmuch as they brought forth the sick unto the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And it was just his shadow. Well, I've actually seen that happen in my ministry in India. I couldn't get the people. There were so many people they couldn't even get them into that big area that that they had chosen to hold the meeting in, and so they lined the street, and they couldn't get in. And there I was walking in that morning for the morning session, and the Lord spoke to me and said, He said, you watch as your shadow crosses these that are in need of being healed and receiving miracles. And people got to jumping up. People that were sitting down got jumping up, and they got to yelling and screaming and in their language saying, the Lord has healed me. What an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to be able to see. To see that kind of anointing come forth in even that kind of a setting. A place. Now, are we going to see? Yeah, we're going to see much, much more of those things. Again, as I've said, that before this thing's over, there's going to be children raising the dead in the name of Yeshua. and there is going to be. Once we as the parents, as the adults, get this thing right, can you imagine what it's going to do for the children? They're not going to come up with all these, bless God, all these hang-ups and all these religious things that, bless God, that you and I have had to fight through. They're going to be able to come up into this thing, bless God, with everything in the right order and working to the glory of the Lord God through the name of His Holy Son, Yeshua. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, anytime I think about those things, I get excited because the fact of it is, we are at the very doorstep of this thing, folks. It's a matter of teaching. It's a matter of you learning. It's a matter of you consecrating yourself to the things of God. And if you'll do that, bless God, it's going to change things. We are going to become the army that the Lord God created us to be. One hand in the other hand. Nobody more important than anybody else. We are the children of the Most High. We are the children of the Most High. We're not, you know, I don't know. You know, people get, like I said, people, I want to be a prophet, or I want to be this, or I want to be that. Just be happy. You know, Paul said, just be happy where you're at right now. Just get yourself settled. Give God everything that's on inside of you just where you're at right now. And if you can do that, bless God, you're going to be one happy camper, as we say. Okay? You're going to be one happy camper. And that's all there is to it. Now, you know, the thing that I watch, the thing that I see, is that God wants us to walk in not only to be consecrated to Him, but to walk in the power of His anointing through the name of His Son. He wants us to do that in order for people to understand who He is. To understand who He is. I mean, you know, it's something. Now we read about, we talked about the bless God that where Peter had gone in and bless God had prayed, and where Tabitha, all right, was bless God raised from the dead. Now, you know, for most people, again, most people, they believe that to be the truth. But there again, you know, again, God's not any respecter of persons, and that's what He says. What He's done through one, He do through the other. And you know, I kept over and over and over and over again, I would say, you know, folks, let me tell you something. When He said, when the Lord said, and all that I have done ye shall do also, and even greater works shall you do, He meant that. He absolutely meant that. And yet, I said, where is the works that He did? I mean, the people's minds can't even imagine beyond that because they have never seen that at any kind of consistency at all. We've had ministers that, bless God, that have had healing ministries that go back a long way back. But bless God, the consistency of God's power in the services were few and far in between for everybody else. But you know, I believe, and I know I cried out to God, and I asked God, I said, what good is it doing? I said, the people aren't learning to work your works. They're waiting on somebody like me to come along and work the works so that they might receive. And may go. And you know, finally, the angel spoke to me and said to me, he said, the day will come that the army of God will come forth, and they will do great exploits in these last days, just as His Word says. And you know, I've held on to that for many, many years. And there was times when I just shake my head and I'd think, Lord, Lord, how long? How long, oh Lord, how long is it going to be until we begin to see people come into this thing? And you know, people, I'm talking about good people. I'm not talking about people that aren't good people. But they had no teaching. And bless God again, without the teaching, you're just not going to get it done. I mean, I'm sorry that the First Church of the Righteous, which you believed was what was going to bring you forth under the power of God's anointing, I'm sorry that didn't happen. But because of the fact that, again, you got to walk in the power of God's anointing to teach the power of God's anointing. I walk in that kind of power. I can teach that kind of power. And I know that. I know how to get you there. But again, folks, it's not a matter of me pouring oil on you and laying hands on you and commanding the, you know, the anointing come on you without measure. Boy, I'll tell you what. And, you know, we fell for that. I'm going to tell you what, when I was a brand new, I'm talking about out-of-the-box Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, one of the first things right off I got into was there was an evangelist that came around. Of course, I went to every meeting I'd get to. I was that turned on to about the Lord God. And so anyway, that was one of the announcements he made. He says, now tonight, he said, you're going to leave here. It's all anointed vessels. He said, I've got command from the Lord God to lay hands on every one of you and to impart the anointing to you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to say I pushed and shoved, but I didn't let any grass grow under my feet to say get into the altar when he said to come. Well, I mean, I was up there, and I may not have been first, but if I wasn't, I was right there at the first, and bless God, there was a fellow there that was a friend of mine, and so and me and him together got up there. And so anyway, about a week went by, and so we're sitting, and we're talking about the things of the Lord God, he and I, and I looked at him, and I said, say, have you noticed any difference in the anointing? And he looked at me, and he said, well, no. He said, I have, and I said, neither have I. I said, you know, I don't think I know where that's at in the Bible. And you see, even in the beginning, I begin to realize that God does things, and he repeats the way in which he does. In other words, he's consistent in what he does. And I know that he anointed kings. He anointed prophets in the days of the Tanakh. And I know that. But I'm going to tell you something else I know is that, bless God, that if we were to have been able to have handed out, I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about this, but if we were able to have handed out in that day, as that was going on, and everybody would be all anointed ones without any teaching, have you ever stopped to wonder what kind of a mess we would? I mean, we got a mess now, but could you imagine the kind of mess that we would have? Oh, my Lord and my God, I've thought about it, and you talk about wagging your head. I get to thinking, you know what, Lord? I realize that this is, I know we got a mess, but boy, what a mess we could have had. I guess like everything else, God just wasn't going to let that happen, was he? No, and he didn't, and I think a lot of us went out thinking that we were all anointed ones and fell right on our Holy Ghost dust, making fools out of ourselves and fools out of God, because, again, you're not going to learn to fly an airplane just because you go sign a piece of paper and sign up for a class. It's not going to happen like that. The same thing is within the ministry. You have to be taught. The offices of which you walk in, the office of helps of which most will walk in, are things that you have to understand. It's not the office that blesses you. It is what? It's your consecration to God that blesses you. And that's the way this whole thing works. It all works in and around that one thing. And if, in fact, you can bring yourself to that and you can understand that, let me tell you something. You're going to be far ahead in the game, as they say. Because, I've seen people in churches, brothers and sisters, that kept the grounds of the church. I've told the story when the first thing they gave me to do was to be the doorkeeper. My place was to greet the people when they came in, and the pastor would greet them as they went out, but it was my place to greet them when they came in and to be there and have the furnace on in the winter, the air conditioner on in the summer. Me and my family cut the grass and kept everything trimmed, picked up in the church and cleaned the church. That was my job. Now, I fasted over that. And you say, you what? Yeah, that was my ministry. That was the beginning. There was something that somehow, and I wasn't taught this, but somehow just through the life that I had lived to that point, I realized something. That, bless God, you have to learn to do the little things before you're ever going to be concerned about taking care of the bigger things. And that I realized that if I couldn't do that to the fullness of my ability, then there wasn't going to be anything else for me to do. And I realized that, and I didn't have scriptural proof to go with that. I just, inside of myself, I knew. And, you know, I've said, and I've watched people kind of cringe when I say it, but I was the best doorkeeper God's ever had. And I was there. I had a smile on my face. I blessed God. I shook their hands. I asked them how they were, and praised God with them as they came through the door. And bless God, I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't long before the pastor came and said, you know, Brother Deckard, I just want to tell you something. We've never had somebody keep the door, and you're making these people feel good. People that come in that are kind of down in the dumps, they're saying, oh, boy, when you walk in, Brother Deckard greets you, you can't be down in the dumps anymore. What's that about? That's taking care. That was where my ministry was at, and I was taking care of that. I was doing all that I could do. I'm not going to say that, you know, it took me a while to get to the understanding of all that I needed to do. But it got right down to the point where, bless God, you know, I told Pastor, I said, now, Pastor, you know, people call, because I'd heard people called during the night. I said, when somebody calls and needs something, I said, instead of you having to get out and going out, you call me and I'll get up and I'll go out and get what it is that they need and take it to them. Well, bless God, he got to doing that. Not very often, but he would do that from time to time. And he would say, he said, my, son, what a blessing it is to have somebody do that. I then begin to say to people, and I believe it to be still truth today, you will have no better ministry than that which you served under the ministry that you were under. In other words, if you served well, you'll have people under your ministry that will serve you well through the name of the Lord. If you don't, you won't have. And I've watched that. I've watched that through the years. I'm here to tell you, folks, that it all works hand in hand. And so therefore, again, don't get to look into the fact, well, I'm not a prophet, so God can never be, I never can be blessed with that. No. That's completely wrong. You are blessed at what you're called to do. Your entirety of the situation is do the best that can be done within it. And that will bring the blessings to your life. And listen, to whom much God has given, much is required. You want to thank God that you're not required to walk somewhere like I walk. I know in my own self, I've said many times, I would rather not walk in the shoes of a prophet because it's too hard. It's just too hard. And yet there's so many people just, oh, they volunteer tomorrow to be, well, they don't know what it really is. Or you wouldn't volunteer. In fact, you'd run from it. You'd absolutely run from it. As I said, to me, it's been a curse. I've been a spectacle. I've been a laughingstock. I've been a stumbling stone to a lot of people because of the fact that, bless God, I am who I am. I can't help who I am. There's many times I've wished that I wasn't who I am. But the fact of it is, I finally succumbed to the fact that this is the only game in town. This is all that I can do. This is all that I can do. And I'm going to do the best I can do within what I'm called to do. Are you going to do the best within what you're called to do? Please understand what I'm saying. The blessings, if you do the best in whatever it is, your blessings will be equal and above most other blessings of people anyhow. That's what the whole thing of it is. If there's more in your life after God proves your heart by putting you there, that's like I said, everybody starts in the office of helps. And bless God, if you've never graduated out of the office of helps, there's one or two things going on. One is, if you never thought that you should have been there to start out with, you'll probably always be there. Number two, if in fact you've got in there and you've forgotten about ever being in a different office, and you're being blessed and know you're walking in the blessings of God, then you're satisfied with that. You have a peace about that, and praise God for that peace. Not all are called, and the Scripture is very adamant about the fact that not all are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Bless God, not all are called to be that. There are some that are. Let those that are come forth and be what they are. Don't clutter the hallways of the offices, bless God, with those I wanna bees. All right, if it's there, get there. That's what I'm always saying to people. You know, throw all this junk in the waste basket. Excuse me, about your prayers, about your visions, your dreams, and God speaking to you. Just throw it all in the trash. Okay, sit down and learn something, And bless God, let's start over and be sure that you know what you know is right. The things that you thought you knew that aren't right that you get rid of and you learn correctly. And then, when that time comes, if in fact all that wasn't familiar spirits going on with the dreams and the visions and all that, then it will come back around. I hope that's beginning, and it is to some of you, beginning to make sense. Some of you have written and you've said to me how that you were a little bit more than upset with me and some of the things that I had to say, likened to what I've said. But it's the truth, folks. It isn't the visions and dreams that brings you forth but God. It's your consecration to God first. And if you're not going to bring that to full term, the rest of it isn't going to make any difference in the end anyway. And that's the thing that you need to know, the things you need to concentrate on. And bless God, it's not hard. Like I said, you got to wake up in the morning, go to sleep at night with nothing but the Lord God on your mind. You have to, first and foremost, bless God, do those things. That's the reason I said, you need to get up early in the morning and pray. You need to bless God, study. If you can study, even if it's 15, 20 minutes before you go to work, do that. Bless God at noon hour when you take your noon break. Well, then bless God. I'm telling people you can even fix some things up now with the technology we have, with being able to plug it in and stick it in your ear and listen to it while you have your lunch. That's the Word of God. It's a time of your prayer through our prayer books are readily available. I don't think a lot of people understand the Jewish prayer books, but there's nothing wrong with them. You're praying Scripture. That's what that's about, okay? And if you're interested in that, you need to contact the office. We've got those on hand. Well, I want to pray here before we get off the air this morning, but I'm excited about the Acts of the Apostles. I'm excited because all we've got to do is mimic what they did, and I hope you're getting a hold of that. Well, Father, right now, in the name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, Lord God, I pray. I pray for every person that, bless God, that's listening, that has need of prayer, has need of healing, has need, bless God, of being delivered. And right now, just put your hand on the area of your body that needs to be healed, that you need to have a miracle in. This is what's that called? A detached retina? Okay, or it's a retina problem. Okay, and I curse right now, Lord God, this the retina in this person's eye. I command right now through the power of your holy anointing, the name of your holy Son Yeshua, and the stripes that He bore upon the tree, that they be healed right now. And Satan, I curse you from that in Yeshua's name. I pray. Somebody's having a real, real problem today. Bless God, having a headache. Okay, you have them off and on. I don't know what you call those, migraines or not, but let that be cursed right now in the name of Yeshua, and let them be set free and let them be healed with the stripes that Yeshua bore upon the tree in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah! And Lord, touch every body that's listening this day. Touch them and heal them. Let your power, let the virtue of your holy anointing run from their heads, even to the bottoms of their feet, and enter into those areas and set them free right now in the holy name of Yeshua. Right now in the holy name of Yeshua, let them be free. And let those that need to be delivered, let them be delivered from those things. And right now, just speak out. Just speak out where you're at right now. I want to be delivered from, and you say it. And then say, I am delivered according to God's holy word in the name of His holy Son, Yeshua. And you walk in that deliverance. You walk in it every day. And same thing with the healings, okay? Well, let me tell you something. God's on our side. Amen and amen. And there's nothing better in this world than to know that, bless God, who you are in Him, and you walk in that kind of peace.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all this material that you're hearing taught every day, every week. Folks, you want to get out there and start taking a look at that and start ordering that material, because you need to get a hold of that and start to apply that into your life so that it will change your life. You know what? You can also email your prayer requests to cradle@jewishprophet.com. We'll be praying for your prayer requests. Shalom until tomorrow. And remember, with God, all things are